Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we are dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz, and today I'm here with my buddy Trev, who just wants to sit and have a conversation about becoming less and sustainability. Hi, Trevor. How you doing?
Not too bad. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. So you are a regular listener to the podcast.
Yeah.
What brings you to be entertained by learning about becoming less?
Well, without getting too personal, I know the host, so that I have that perk, and that's how I found you on Twitter. I realized you were there through the Twitter algorithm, and I just started listening and started realizing that you had this whole interest, and it's amazing, and you know a lot about it. And I started learning about things that I could do, and then the next thing I knew, I was emailing you about stuff. So here we are.
Yeah, I love that. You just found me organically. I didn't even like say, hey, listen to my podcast.
Nope.
You've said you've learned things. You've learned things from us?
Yeah. I mean, being one of the 90s kids and having recycling beaten into your head, but not really being told what recycling actually means. I listened to your recycling episode and learned a lot about how difficult that is. And I thought it was interesting how it would be better for me to just like avoid making recycle and finding other ways to use things instead.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how the whole reduce, reuse, recycle thing is beaten into our heads, but somehow recycle seems to be the focus when, and they just skip over reduce and reuse. So you've kind of had that click into your brain now, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And awareness is an important thing. I was already pretty keen about not bringing home more stuff than I needed, like the plastic bags at the grocery store and the wrap for the vegetables and all of that crap. I just left that at the store. I didn't bring it home. But now I look at my recycle bin in a very different way. So
even cardboard for me, I find that I'm trying to just bring it down to as little as possible. It's so hard, though.
Yeah, everything comes wrapped in 15 things.
And it's worse, especially now with COVID and everything has to be sanitary.
Yes, it does.
So what kind of things have you started doing recently?
I've been much more diligent about washing the waste that I do have, much more diligent about making sure it's absolutely clean and dry before it goes in the bin. It may seem like a no-brainer to a lot of listeners to this show, but for everyday muggles like myself, it's it's good to know that just how important it is to not contaminate the entire truck with your lasagna grease, basically. So,
yeah,
and just not bringing home as much stuff, being extra conscious about how things are packaged, and if I can get it without a package, I'll do that instead. So,
yeah, I really am an advocate for just stop buying so much stuff, and you wouldn't have as much garbage.
yeah, totally.
People get mad because, well, that's how the economy works. And yes and no. I mean, it's how our economy works now because we have that mindset.
Right. Yeah. No, capitalism is built on consumerism, and we consume. That's supposed to be our little jobs. But there are lots of interesting ways to stimulate the economy without buying food that's wrapped in three different ways with a box around it.
Yeah.
Even just other things too, right?
Or focusing on services.
Yeah.
Or creating a circular economy where at least the end of life of whatever it is you're buying becomes the start of life of something else.
Right. Yeah. I can think of a few examples of that. Every bottle that I get, I save because I like to make mead. So having the bottles handy to wash and reuse, lemonade jugs, they get used for brewing. There's lots of neat little ways that you can reuse the stuff that you get.
So you brew your own mead, beer, other things, wine?
I'm a little bit apprehensive about taking a running go at beer. It's a little bit more complex than mead, but mead is easy. It's honey, water, and yeast. And that's a basic recipe. So
yeah, I don't do a lot, but I was partaking in the process of making ginger beer.
Ooh.
So which is just ginger and sugar and yeast.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed it. I think everyone else kind of thought it was a little bit strong, but
uh-huh, yeah.
And I love that because even glass bottles, as you may have heard in previous episodes, glass is not easily recycled,
no.
But it is an excellent material to reuse. So if we can make our own beer, we can reuse and reuse and reuse. So that's cool. It's nice. I didn't know you made mead. I didn't know that.
I did it for my wedding and I've been hooked on it ever since. I love making this stuff. I don't know. Some people say it's an acquired taste, but I'd like to think that most people that have tried it have enjoyed it.
I tend to like mead. Yeah. I'll have to steal a bottle for me sometime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tried the ginger beer too. I know this is a little bit off topic, but how did you keep it carbonated? What was your method?
Keep it carbonated? It didn't get carbonated until it was in the bottle for like 3 months.
Yes.
We had it in the carboy and it got a little bit fizzy, but then as soon as it went into the bottles, it was all lost. And so we had it in the bottles for a couple of weeks and we pulled it out and it was just super flat. We're like, well, we failed at this. So we just didn't drink anymore for a while. We were like, let's try it again a few months later. And it was perfect. So it just needed to bottle for a long time.
It does. Yeah. I was having troubles with it myself. And the way I got around that was I just dropped half a teaspoon of sugar in a couple of the bottles and it restarted the ferment. Of course, there was still like it wasn't crystal clear on the bottom of the bottle, but it was absolutely carbonated.
We had that too, but I felt like, you know, losing the last inch of the ginger beer at the bottom of the bottle was better than throwing out the entire batch.
Absolutely.
So you're going to be a dad soon.
Yep.
Are you considering any low-waste baby things?
Yeah. Yeah. Funny you should mention that. The baby industry gouges you. We as new parents are the most vulnerable consumer there is. You can fire everything at us. You can fire things that make us feel adoration for our baby that isn't born yet. And you can fire things at us that make us feel guilty for not buying the best thing. And the prices, they just go up.
Yeah. And I bet you like a lot of new parents are probably in panic mode because they've never done it before. So they just feel like they need all the things.
Yeah. And you can't remember what you had. You were just a baby. So, yeah. We've been thrift shopping, lots of thrift shopping. Fortunately for us, we've got a lot of consignment shops nearby too. And we're able to find a lot of used clothing and a lot of used toys and a lot of used things that our baby may like or need at a fraction of the cost. And it doesn't add more stuff to the universe of baby stuff.
Right. And because babies grow so quickly, they grow out of it so quickly, and it's probably not even that worn by the time you get it.
Exactly. Maybe, like, I have no concept of how quickly our child will grow, but some say that when your baby's born, they don't even fit into newborn stuff to begin with. They start at 3 months, and then they grow rapidly from there in terms of size. So if my child is a big chubbo, then they're gonna end up in the large onesies, and we'll be like, why do we have all these?
Of course,
these newborns.
You don't know that until it's born, whether it's gonna be like 5.5 pounds or 10 pounds, and that's a big difference.
it is. And if they're late, you know, the child is growing a pound a week in utero, so if it's 2 weeks late, it's gonna be a heavy baby.
Yeah, I was 9.5 when I was born.
You beat me.
I was a big baby.
I was 8. You know, both my wife and I are big and tall people. So we wonder and we worry. She's got a small head. I've got a big head.
I don't know if that really makes a difference, though, because I'm not a very large person, 5'3 and 9.5 pounds. Like,
you
never know.
Yeah, you never know. She could be tiny. I don't know.
And then my sister's baby had like record-breaking head size almost as a kid. He's a big bobblehead baby.
Nice. Yeah, you gotta remember to hold the head on that one.
Anything else that, like, other than thrifting, like, are you guys doing cloth diapers or?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We got a diaper service nearby and we're jumping full in on that. We had some debate with some other newish parents as to whether or not the environmental impact of cloth diapers versus disposable diapers was any different. I mean, for some parents, it's like a bit of a controversial opinion, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a bit personal, too. Maybe they're just too tired to even really put that much more effort into a cloth diaper. But the argument I got was the amount of impact on the environment from having to wash the cloth diapers is comparable to the impact of disposable diapers, which I feel is a skeptical opinion at best, just because Okay, because we're not planning on washing them ourselves. That's the cool thing about a diaper service, right? They're going to come pick up the bucket of dirty diapers, leave us a bucket of clean diapers, and then they're going to take all the, I assume they're going to take all the diapers from all the other people that they help for basically the cost of disposable diapers and wash them all at once. And I would think that that has less impact than a giant pile of non-biodegradable.
That's awesome. I didn't even know that this was a thing.
It is. Yeah, it's absolutely
a
thing.
Of course, not being a parent, I haven't really looked into it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But yeah, so then that set of cloth diapers is helping multiple babies rather than just one.
Totally. Totally. And we don't buy more diapers. We just use the ones that already exist, and we only have to buy like the covers for them. So, you know, we buy 5 or 6 covers, probably more, hopefully not too many more. And then they do the really gross stuff. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah. I know I had cloth diapers when I was a baby.
Oh.
Yeah. My mom did the cloth diaper thing for all 3 of us.
Can you recall how she enjoyed working with cloth diapers?
I think it was just the way she did it. I don't think it really occurred to her that it was weird.
Nice.
I mean, it's just put the poop in the toilet, you rinse out the rest, and you throw it in with your laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as I know, it was just part of the laundry process, which had to get done anyway.
Yeah. I and all my siblings were disposable diaper babies. So, and I remember working with those, and they seemed, I think the only benefit I can think of is that you can't screw up a disposable diaper unless you're really tired, like really tired.
I'm sure everyone screws up a disposable diaper now and then. I know that sometimes poop just gets in places that you never thought it could. You're like, how did this even happen?
Yep. And if you're really fortunate and you have a creative child, they'll find interesting ways to utilize what's in their diaper to create art. Yeah. So,
well, I hope for your sake that you don't have one of those.
Yeah, try to see the beauty in things.
It's being creative. It's
it's like the trash bag from American Beauty. It just depends on your perspective.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's nice to hear that you guys are doing all this. Once you're done with it, someone else gets to use it, and then it gets used. And I'm thinking that the cloth part, because it sounds like the cloth part and the rubber part are separate in this particular scenario.
You know, I haven't actually got my hands on them yet. I had assumed that they were just entirely cloth and that we had to tie or pin them somehow.
Mm. But the covers, which you're referring to, are the little rubber outer panties, right?
Yeah, the ones that kind of seal the flavor in.
Yeah, to prevent leaks and that sort of thing.
Yeah, they exactly. Yeah. No, I think they're...
So then what you those can get. Two materials being separate, which they aren't in all reusable diapers. Sometimes there's like the outer layer that's waterproof and then the inner layer that's absorbent, but they're still the same piece, and that makes it difficult for end of life. Whereas if the inside is just cotton and the outside is rubber and it's separate, then at least they can be disposed of properly separately instead of just having to go to landfill.
Yeah, you could totally do that yourself, even just cut them open and pull them apart and then try to recycle them properly.
But if it's separate already, that just makes the whole process that much easier at the end of life. And you don't even have to deal with it because the diaper service gets to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Huh. Thanks,
guys.
There
you go. So that makes it easy. Oh, everyone who's having a baby should look into that because that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
You've heard the episode on the toy exchange as well.
No, I think I missed that one. Sorry.
You missed that one? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a service here in Edmonton that you subscribe to a toy exchange and then you get a new box of toys every month.
Oh, wow.
And so then your kid can play with the ones. And if they don't like them, you're not stuck with them. And if they do like them, you can get them again. And when they grow out of them, they get a different age group of toys. Yeah. I love hearing that more and more of these things are popping up. I think that's awesome.
That is really, really cool, considering, especially at a young age, how long their attention span is on certain kinds of toys and whether or not they'll reach for them ever again.
Yeah, because they might be really excited about it at first, and then after a couple of weeks, it's like, meh, I've been there, done that. Yeah.
And then you end up with this perpetual pile of toys that never seems to go down.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes cleaning up easier, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So what other things do you do?
What other things do I do? I'm a big tech nerd. I'm a web developer. I spend most of my time, if it's not with my wife or preparing for this kid these days, I spend most of my time in front of a computer, either working on passion projects or I'm working on work.
So your work and hobbies are fairly low waste, other than the electronics themselves, which I know we've talked about.
Yeah, no, I would say my kryptonite is definitely the tech stuff. I probably consume the most on the tech side of things, which I mean, comparative to some of the other people I interact with, may not be that bad, but still.
Are you the kind of person who upgrades your stuff all the time or do you have... No. That's what I figured. I figured you wouldn't be.
No. If I buy a piece of tech, I expect it to last 10 or more years. If I can get that, then I know I've done a good job.
That's impressive for tech, yeah.
It used to be the standard.
Well, used to be.
Yeah, it used to be, things used to be built to last, or at least you had some semblance of control over the peripherals inside and you could change things and upgrade them and keep them going with minimal expense and fuss. But we're living in the modern age of smartphones where computing is mostly the device you have in your pocket and the standards therein. So things have changed a little bit.
Yeah. At least with like a desktop PC, you can exchange an individual part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if something does go defective on you, then you don't have to replace the whole thing. You can just pick out the part that's not working anymore.
Yep. And then most things that are in your machine are recyclable too. There are processes in place to extract all the gold and the copper and reuse that.
If you dispose of it properly.
Yeah. Which means you got to put all your electronics in a home hardware bucket and take it to the depot properly.
Mm-hmm. And I know you've had some insight on the marketing side of tech.
Ugh. Yeah. If you want to open that can of worms again, you're welcome to. Yeah.
No, please do.
You had an episode about built-in obsolescence, which really hooked me. It latched me onto your show in a real way because it resonated with me. I think that from a tech standpoint, built-in obsolescence is huge. Most people are marketed these smart devices that are only intended to last a couple of years, both from a software and hardware perspective. And you're pushed into contracts that force you to pay for these devices as much as they can get out of you on a month-to-month basis every 2 years.
Just long enough.
For
you to need a new one.
I can tell you my last smart device broke before the two-year mark. In a way that I would not be able to repair myself like most people. It's unless you're really keen on repairing smart devices, you may as well get another one. Yeah, I decided I wasn't going to pay for that anymore. So
it is sad that so often repairing things costs more than a new one.
Mm-hmm. Or they're put together in ways that are designed to be difficult. Or I guess, you could look at it from two lights. You could say that, it's put together this way to keep it compact and small and relatively durable and light and whatever. But I just call it cheap and quick and difficult to deal with once it breaks.
Well, I mean, I see that in sewing machine repair too. The machines are getting harder and harder to get into, which they say is so that the customers aren't messing around in there. But when it's hard enough for the technicians to get in there to do anything and they end up damaging the covers trying to get it open, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if you've seen a TV repairman in the last 15 years. It's a dying industry because they don't
make TVs. Do they still exist?
They do, but they're far and few between. And in a lot of cases, when things break in these modern flat panel TVs, they still tell you, like, not much we can do about it.
That's so depressing.
It is.
Pretty much any tech. Like, I can't think of anything that I would know is repairable other than a computer that has like a PC, desktop PC tower that could come apart, I guess. Yeah. I would consider repairable. But like a laptop, is that a thing that you can actually...
It is. And it really depends on what broke. If it's a peripheral that's soldered into your motherboard, then you may end up having to replace the whole logic board, which gets expensive. It's comparable to buying another laptop. But if it's the screen or the memory or the speakers or some other peripheral that plugs into the logic board, you can often replace or upgrade it. I had a battery die in my laptop that we're using right now, actually. I replaced it myself, and I replaced a speaker as well that had died. So
I will say, I think I've heard of the batteries in laptops and phones being replaced, but that's about it. The screens and the batteries.
Yeah, but the logic board is compact and small and soldered together, and it's hard to replace peripherals that are part of the logic board. You usually have to end up replacing the whole thing. And if you can source the parts, and that's another thing, like manufacturers make it very difficult to get a hold of parts, especially our friend Apple. They have very strong anti-repair builds that a lot of repairmen complain about. But if you can get the parts, you can replace it. But sometimes the price is just, like I said, comparable to buying a whole other laptop.
And you think that it actually costs that much, or do you think they price it that way for that reason?
Yes. The consumer will pay whatever they think it's worth, right? That is the logic behind how we end up paying so much for so many things. Like those glasses you're wearing, I don't know how much you paid for them, but for a lot of people.
I have replaced the lenses in these glasses 3 times.
Nice. Okay. Virtual high five. But, you know, other people will pay $200 or more for a piece of plastic that holds 2 pieces of plastic on their face. So
they are metal too, actually.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I think the arms are plastic, but the frame itself is metal, and it's holding up pretty well after five years.
Nice. Yeah. So you're making very good use of your glasses. They're getting a lot of mileage.
Yeah. I'm actually impressed I haven't broken them. Because I am not the most graceful person in the world.
Me neither.
Which is why I don't need them. I always spend the extra money on a good case for my phone, because I know I'm going to drop it 18 times a week.
100% you are. Yeah. Yeah. No, I always drop my phones. And it's funny too, because I've dropped my devices in spectacular ways. Back when I used to do cable installation, I went through an Android phone a year because they'd get dropped off of roofs, or they'd get slammed in doors, or jammed in a pocket with a drill.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your cell phone, because you don't have a smartphone, do you?
No, I don't. I have a good old fashioned grandpa's flip phone. It takes calls. It makes text.
Which he's holding up in front of me, but the audience can't see.
Yeah, no, we've got fancy video chat. But anyways, yeah, it's just, you know, it's a $70 phone. And what it does is it makes calls and it makes texts and it receives them. And I can say a lot of things about the software on this particular phone, but that's not what this podcast is about. What it does do is it reduces the amount of noise that I have to deal with in a day, and the number of interruptions and notifications and stuff like that.
We just did an episode about slowing down and stepping back from things like that too, actually. It's not out yet, but it will be by the time this one is. So
awesome. I look forward to it. the smartphone and the software inside of your smartphone is designed to keep you addicted to it. So with the notifications and the pop-ups and the social media likes and comments and attention, it keeps you on a dopamine high. Then it keeps you constantly looking at your phone. And depending on the type of person that you are, and this does matter, if you're like me, you're a little neuroatypical, these devices can be really intrusive and really disruptive, and they create anxiety. So in switching to a dumber device like this one, it's made my quality of life a lot better, because the computing happens on the computer and the contact happens on the phone.
And you keep those things separate.
I keep them very separate. Yeah.
I think it's not talked about enough how much social media actually does affect our environmental impact because of things like that, whereas we're constantly stuck on these devices and these apps, which of course are advertising to us.
Yes.
Which of course are driving us to buy more and consume more and create that waste.
Yeah, and it also attempts to shape our opinions about the world around us as well, depending on whose interests are being paid for.
And constantly making us feel bad about ourselves so that the cycle starts over again.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you need a little low for that dopamine hit to hit really high. So you got the bad news machine doing what it does on top of the notifications.
Yeah. I haven't made the switch to a not smartphone, a dumb phone, if you will. But then again, part of what I do with this podcast is done through the phone and connecting with my co-host and Waste Free Edmonton. So I do have most of my notifications disabled, except for the actual contact things like WhatsApp and texting and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And these things are getting more and more integrated into our lives every year, as people by majority carry smart devices in the first world anyways. My particular flip phone device has certain quote unquote smart capabilities. Not really, but it's designed to be accessible to people in second and third world countries, and it gives them things like internet access and access to Google and access to stuff like that. So as time goes forward, more and more people will be thinking of computing in terms of smart devices or pocket devices, and less about computing in terms of laptops and desktops, I would think. We should be conscious of what that means and how we interact with one another and how we interact with the news and society and whether or not it's healthy, and trying to, you know, really get behind healthier choices in terms of mental health when it comes to smart devices.
Yeah, it's all intertwined. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you want to switch over to our wine, cheese, and dessert segment?
Yeah, sure.
What do you got for us? What do you got to whine about?
What have I got to whine about? It's a tough one for me because I'm really happy right now. But I think I want to whine about, hopefully without starting a whole other topic, I want to whine about dog beds and the foam inside of them and what to do about that. Because my dog has managed to ruin a number of foam beds and I just don't know how to wash or deal with it.
Interesting. Okay, so I actually partake in making dog beds for charities like the SPCA and et cetera. And we stuff the dog beds with fabric scraps.
Oh, wow.
So that's quilters smart. Collect their fabric scraps until they have enough to stuff a dog bed, make a dog bed, stuff it with all their scraps, and then donate it to whichever shelter is taking them at the time.
Nice.
So if you need some fabric scraps.
I think I know who I'll ask about that. Yeah. I got two empty beds, two empty shells of dog beds that need repurposing. So I'll ask you about that after the show.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's a solution for you.
And for the cheese, I guess, I'm going to tell a bad joke.
Excellent.
Two fish are in a tank. One turns to the other and says, "How do you drive this thing?"
Oh, I know a different version of that, but I've heard that before. I've heard the version where it's like two fish in a tank. One turns the other and says, "You man the guns, I'll drive."
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I love that joke. I tell that joke all the time.
Yeah. I have a little script on my machine that gets me a bad joke or a dad joke on demand. So I've been practicing.
Setting yourself up for being a dad. That's amazing.
Yes. Well, why was the broom late for the meeting? He overswept. Groan. And dessert, that's something we're happy about, right?
Yeah. So what is a win you've had recently?
My dessert is, I know I've talked about it already in the show, but I'm really excited about the baby. That's really the only win I care about right now.
That's a pretty big win. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So
when is baby coming?
March 21st.
So close.
Yeah, right after my birthday and right before hers.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah. You guys are just going to have like one big family birthday party.
I keep joking, but it's not a joke. But I keep saying, I just cancel my birthday. If she's close to my birthday, just cancel it and give me Father's Day. Perfect. Done.
There you go.
Yeah.
But whatever works, right?
Exactly.
Okay. My wine is, my coworker's son got a new truck. And fine, that's his choice. But what bugged me is that this beast of a truck couldn't even fit in the parking spots in our back parking lot.
No.
And everybody's rushing to the door to see the new big shiny truck. Ooh, look at the new big gas guzzler. And I was just like, oh, why is this something that we praise in people? I don't understand.
You must be in Alberta.
Must be. So yeah, that's my wine. And I'm just going to say that my cheese is, insert tiny penis joke here.
Okay, sure. All right.
I'm not going to actually say the joke. I'm sure everyone has heard a million of them.
Yep.
But my dessert is, a few podcast episodes ago, I was talking about the hairbrush that I got that was completely plastic free because my hairbrush is dying. And then I got it and I hated it and I was really sad. And I was like, I just wish that I could still get the brush that I've been using for the last 10 years because I love it so much, but they don't make them anymore.
Oh.
But I found one, not used, but somebody had it on eBay.
You're right.
So it's like, and it's the same brush I have, but sort of new. And I'm like, yes, I will get my brush again. My same brush that I've been using for 10 years and I don't want to change. I like my brush exactly the way it is because I hate those little nubbins on the end of the, I know you probably, you don't have this problem.
Nope. I've been bald since 23. So yeah.
But I hate the little nubbins on the end of the brush because it makes it really hard to clean the hair off of it. They get caught on the end.
Yeah.
And my brush is stainless steel pins that are rounded on the end. But they're not scratchy, but they also let the hair come off and it's completely plastic free. So I was really, really excited, probably way more excited about finding this brush than I really should be. But
fair enough. It'd be like if the only razor I've used in the last 15 years suddenly disappeared from the market. It would drive me nuts. How would I find that again if it just disappeared?
Is that likely to happen?
No, it's Gillette. But yeah. Mach 3. I haven't, you know, we talk a lot about sustainability and not using, not being wasteful. In terms of razors, I'm not sure what to do because I'm afraid that if I go sustainable on razors, I might kill myself in the shower by accident.
I use a safety razor. It's really not that bad. But I actually heard of one, I think it's called Bulldog. I will find it and send it to you because it's like, it's going to be a lot more similar to the razors that most people are used to.
Yeah.
But it's, I think, I don't know if it's plastic free, like completely, but it's at least sustainably whatever. But I haven't looked into it because I just bought my safety razor a year and a half ago and it's been working for me. So.
Yeah. And there are certain things about the Mach 3 as a head shaver that only a head shaver can really appreciate. So,
yeah, I don't know if you want to use the safety razor on your head. That might be tricky.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And thank you all to the listeners who have tuned in for this episode. And thank you to Change Toothpaste for sponsoring the podcast because Emily and I are volunteers and podcasting is not free. So they keep it free for us to do this. So if you would like to follow us on Instagram, I highly encourage it. You can find us at Becoming Less Pod or go to becominglesspod.podbean.com for all the ways to connect, listen, and to donate to reduce waste here in Edmonton, Alberta. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.
All of the excitement of seeing a person face to face and none of the bad smells.
Do you smell bad?
No. But if I did, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
I would never know.